Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This podcast connects people affected by a blood cancer to resources that inform, support, educate, and empower. When it comes to cancer, it's hard to navigate the unknown, and there are no easy answers. We're here to bring you the information you need to help you make sense of every step of the blood cancer experience. My name is Pascal Rousseau, and I am the Community Services Manager for the Quebec and Ottawa region. Today on the show, I'm talking about playing an active role in your care with Linda August. Mrs. August from Montreal is a survivor of a lymphoma. During her experience with cancer, she quickly understood the importance of taking an active part in her care and treatment. Thank you, Mrs. August, for joining us today.
Thank you, Madame Rousseau. It's really my pleasure to be with you today and hopefully to help other people with their experience.
So, first of all, first question, tell us a bit about yourself and your experience with blood cancer.
Okay, so I'm a 68-year-old woman married with two adult children. And since 6 months ago, I have a little grandchild. I was diagnosed with lymphoma 2 years ago in July 2018. At the time, I was still working as a healthcare manager in long-term care. The diagnosis was a huge shock as I had always been healthy and I had been in very good physical condition.
And each type of blood cancer is different, but signs and symptoms may be similar. So what steps did you take when you first experienced signs and symptoms?
So for me, my first signs were stomach pains. So I just figured that I had a heartburn or an acid reflux. I stopped drinking coffee and avoided foods that I thought maybe were contributing to the stomach pains, but of course they did not go away. I had less energy when I was exercising, but I really never made any connection between that and the pains. I really tried to ignore the symptoms. But since I had a previously scheduled appointment with my doctor to follow up on some blood tests that I had taken, not for that reason, I discussed these pains. She examined me and with consulting the results of the blood test, she was very concerned. She immediately arranged for me to have a scan the very same day. And when they saw the pictures in the scan, they sent me immediately to the emergency department. I'm extremely grateful for my doctor to have reacted so quickly. I really am very lucky.
And what steps did you take to understand your treatment options and to make treatment decisions?
Okay, so from the first day, the hematologist had diagnosed one of two types of lymphoma. That's quite amazing considering that there's about 70 different types. Unfortunately, the tests to make a firm diagnosis took several weeks, which were extremely scary because without a firm diagnosis, we couldn't begin to even explore treatment options. So when I finally did get to meet the hematologist, I was given two principal options for treatment. One of them was a protocol that was less aggressive with less side effects, and the other was more aggressive with more side effects and, of course, more risks. The doctor herself was recommending the more aggressive protocol despite the fact that I was just over the 65-year old age limit. She felt certain that the committee would accept me because I was in very good physical shape and she felt that I could tolerate the treatments. So she presented my case to the tumor board. When I was able to meet with the doctor, I made sure to be accompanied by my husband and one of my children. At the time, the purpose was for them to listen to the options, to ask questions and to support. I recorded the discussion, and afterwards I took notes. I had to ask the doctor on a few occasions to slow down because she speaks very quickly. I also asked her if she could provide me with some scientific articles that would confirm for me that the treatment that she was suggesting had better results. So when the tumor board finally did come back and recommend the more aggressive protocol, I had a very difficult decision to make. I did finally decide to proceed with the more aggressive protocol. In retrospect, though I am well now, I still have a sort of a nagging question in my mind. Did my doctor overly influence me? Because in reality, the reading of the research results for me did not significantly show that the survival rate is better.
And after these steps and process, did you ask for a second opinion? Did you have to advocate for a better access to care or to treatment at some point?
I never asked for a second opinion, as I felt that since it's a tumor board that made the final decision and recommendation, it wasn't really necessary. But from the beginning, I did had to advocate for access to treatment and care. Right from the start, although the doctor had promised that there wouldn't be a delay to start my chemo, it was the summertime and there was in fact a delay. I was in a lot of pain and I needed something, some intervention to reduce the tumors in my stomach. I did contact my doctor by phone and by email until I had a response, and she did give me some strong medication, which helped in the meantime. Also, during all my periods of hospitalization, I really had to be on my toes constantly to defend my rights to safe care. Some examples are when staff members were not using proper precautions such as masks and gloves. Housekeeping staff weren't cleaning the room properly according to infection prevention standards. And the medical team not sharing openly information related to medical errors that took place. Also, there were delays all the time in responding to the call bells. I don't know if it's lucky or not lucky, but I do know a lot about the healthcare standards. I had to speak with supervisors, and sometimes I had to even go higher up. When I was too sick to take charge, I was very lucky to have people who could do it for me. I can only imagine how difficult it is now for people during the pandemic who can't have anyone with them to help them out. For me, the most difficult period was in the final stages of treatment, which involved a stem cell transplant, when everything was put on an immediate hold because there was a shortage of a specific medication that was required. Nobody could tell me when the medication could become available to proceed. So I did contact the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. I was lucky to have been in touch with Madame Rousseau. You were very attentive and helped me get more information about what was involved and what was going on. In reality, the reaction of the treatment team at the hospital was not very positive to have had the society involved. They seemed to have felt threatened by their involvement and were actually quite aggressive in their reactions. Also, during this phase of treatment, I had to advocate with a high-level manager when I was told by a key person in the process that even if the medication became available, my treatment would be delayed because of the vacation period, as there was nobody to take over. When I contacted the manager took steps to make sure everything was in place, and I was reassured that there would be no delay should the medication become available. And it finally did come, and we proceeded right away.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that situation. I remember well our first phone conversation. So even though it wasn't easy, I was really happy to be there and to support.
Thank you, because I was freaking out a bit.
I can imagine. Can you share some of your concerns or questions you had prior to treatment and how you actively took a role in seeking support?
Okay, for me, it was fairly basic. The concerns centered around the survival rate, complications and risks of the treatment, questions about whether the illness is hereditary, and would I be able to lead a normal life after? Regarding my own role, of course, I had to always be on top of things to defend my rights and access to safe treatment. But I also tried to remain active based on whatever I was able to do and to maintain my social contacts, even if it was from a distance. I checked out the available resources and I registered for programs that I thought would be helpful for me.
And you mentioned earlier some tips when you went to your first medical appointment for that situation. So what are the best ways to get prepared to a medical appointment?
Okay, I always prepare my list of questions and concerns. I do that sort of in advance and I keep adding to the list as the appointment comes up. I always bring somebody with me to take an active role, which I know isn't possible right now. And this person can help me to digest the information or to remember the details after. And I always take notes during the appointment. We know that the doctors are always rushing and they can't always take the necessary time with you that you would like. But when they see that you have your little list with you, they quickly realize that you won't be hurried out of the office. But you have to always remember not to bring up unimportant details or not to become too chatty during these meetings, because they really are very busy. You need for the doctor to see you as somebody who is serious. And even though you're sick and vulnerable, that you are engaged in the process of getting better.
Once your treatment finished, were there questions or concerns you had about your ongoing care? Can you share a few of those questions and ways you continue to take an active role in your care?
Okay, so for me, my treatments have to continue every 2 months. So I have to go to the clinic and to the chemo unit. I continue to be actively involved in all of these sessions, basically the same things that I had already mentioned. But especially now when many of the visits with the doctor are by telephone. It's always harder on the telephone. At this point in time, my concerns, as I'm sure everybody else's are mainly related to the precautions to take due to the coronavirus. Deciding about whether to continue our isolation is particularly difficult.
I can imagine how struggling it is now with that situation, that's for sure. What support did you receive during your blood cancer experience? What was helpful for you?
Okay, so for me, and I do feel that I'm very lucky, my immediate family was always present to help me, to support me, to provide guidance to me. I also have a network of friends who were very present during the illness. what was most touching was people who dropped off meals to the house that I could eat and came to visit me without expecting me to be very sociable, which we aren't not always in the mood to be. On chemo, of course, restaurants are out of the question, so good and healthy meals are very important. We don't have the energy necessarily when we're sick to coordinate visits or meal preparation. So having somebody who can help out with this is very helpful. For independent people like myself, it's not easy to accept help. But finally, we have to learn to accept the help and believe that these acts of kindness on the part of other people are unconditional and there's no strings attached. It's also important for the people around you to accept that when you're feeling sick, you don't always, or you're not always in the mood to have visitors. You may not want to talk on the phone. You may not be able to respond to your texts and emails. People around you really must be careful not to take this personally. It has nothing to do with them.
And are there resources you found helpful that you would recommend people check out related to playing an active role in care?
Okay, so for me, I'm affiliated with the Jewish General and Montreal, where I have my treatments. There's a not-for-profit organization connected to them that's called Hope and Cope. It's available to patients from other hospitals in Montreal, and I imagine hospitals elsewhere have similar kinds of programs. They have support programs and physical and social activities. There's also a program not very well known to the medical teams called Clinical Nutrition and Rehabilitation, CNR. It's a multidisciplinary team that has a very strong expertise in oncology treatments. I would imagine that many centers elsewhere in Canada have similar programs. Also, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada offer a lot of information and support for people with blood cancers. I was very lucky to have been connected through our Hope and Cope to a mentor who had the same cancer and treatment as I have. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has a mentorship program as well, and I think that's a very useful program.
And what would you say to someone who has just been diagnosed with a blood cancer?
Okay, so I would say that the person should be very patient with the process of treatment, which is quite long sometimes, to have confidence in the treatment team and not to hesitate to consult them with questions and to always advocate for yourself. I think also very, very important is to continue to keep up your spirits and your hope.
And how has your life changed now you have had cancer? Have you gained anything from your experience?
For me, the most important thing was my decision to retire once my medical leave finished. I was lucky to be able to do that because of my age. Not everybody can do that. But I realized that the work was really no longer that important to me. I hope also that I have a better understanding and knowledge of the role of the sick person, what it's like to be sick and what it's like to be vulnerable. Having worked as a professional in healthcare for more than 40 years, I now have both sides of the coin. I hope that these experiences can be helpful to other people. Now, without getting caught up too much in cliches, I would end by saying that I feel that I'm very lucky to have survived this episode or this round, thanks to the medical advances and the support of my friends and family around me.
Well, thank you so much. I think all of your experience will be very helpful for listeners. So thank you again, Mrs. August, for taking the time to talk to us about your story today.
Well, thank you, Madame Rousseau. It's been my pleasure, and I really, really hope that some of this might touch or be helpful to other people who are listening in.
I'm sure it will. If listeners have any questions about playing an active role in your care or need support to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with the community services manager in your region. Visit LLScanada.org to connect with us. Until next time, stay well.
This podcast was made possible thanks to the support of Pfizer. Thank you for listening to the Blood Cancer Experience podcast series by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts, so be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. If you have an idea for the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments or suggestions to canadainfo@lls.org. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada is dedicated to funding cutting-edge research and supporting people affected by blood cancers. To learn more and access resources including fact sheets, booklets, and webcasts, visit llscanada.org.